Hi, this is Patty Scalzo, welcoming you to the Bible study program, Shiar Jashub, brought to you by the Church of Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut. Today, we will begin the next sermon in my husband, Pastor Greg Scalzo's series on the Book of Romans. But before we go into the sermon, let me remind you about our website at shiarjashub.org. Make it your site for serious Bible study and access to hundreds of free Bible study radio programs and videos. That's shiarjashub.org. Here is Pastor Greg Scalzo.
We'll pick up our study in the book of Romans this morning. And last time we read in chapter 1, verse 8, where the Apostle Paul writes, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." And we spoke about how important it was, our testimony, our witness, how it goes beyond just ourselves and here in Rome, beyond the local church, but their witness, their faith in Christ Jesus was going throughout the whole world. And many times we don't even understand how we impact others by our words, by telling them the gospel of Jesus Christ, by showing them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We won't know to the next world many times the impact it can have and how one testimony, one action, one prayer can magnify from that person to another as the kingdom of heaven grows. Okay, let's pick up in verse 9. He says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit or in my spirit, in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers." So Paul here has a statement for them, and he points to the sincerity of his statement by calling God as his witness to the fact. "For God is my witness." And that's the best witness, right? The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, calling God as his witness. In his ministry, Paul had to deal with some who would preach the gospel for their own gain, for their own fame, for their own reputation. And it reduced their ministry, sometimes they're called the super apostles, it reduced their ministry to an outward show that they looked good, that they appeared good. Paul has a great understanding that God sees all. God knows the heart. God knows what is real. And that's why he says, "God is my witness." There's a little aside in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, 2 Corinthians 5, 9, Paul writes, "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him," to be well-pleasing to Christ. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to glory in our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance, and not in the heart." We are, he says in verse 11, he says, we are well known to God. The NIV puts it this way, what we are is plain to God. God sees it. God knows. It's not the outward appearance. It's not based upon how a person shows themselves, and they can boast in the outward appearance all they want. That's not important. God knows the heart. What we are is plain to God. It's not by appearance. It's not by what is seen. It's what is in the heart. God knows the heart. And that's why Paul can say here, God is my witness. He sees us. He knows us. Even if everyone else doesn't know what's going on inside of us, and really we can't truly know what's going on inside another human being, but God does. He is that he is. And he doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. For God is my witness. And then parenthetically he says, whom I serve with my spirit or in my spirit in the gospel of his son, whom I serve. You remember up above in verse 1, it says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. He's a bondservant. He serves God. How does he serve God? He says, God, whom I serve with my spirit or in my spirit. The NIV will paraphrase it and say, with my whole heart. The Greek word there is pneuma, the spirit, that immaterial part of us, that invisible part of us, our inner being, who we are, our spirit. You can destroy the body, and we still have a spirit. We have a spirit made in the image of God to have fellowship with God. And in that innermost part, in his deep down being, in his inner being, he says, I serve God with my heart, with my spirit, in my spirit. How does he serve God? He says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. And right back again, how many times over and over in this section we've seen, he goes right back again to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel of his son, the good message. Euangelion, we get evangelist from that word. Euangelion, the good news, the good message, just as in verse 1, separated to the gospel of God. And Paul repeats it here. We've only gone 9 verses. He repeats it because it's that important to him, because that's his life. That's his whole life, serving God, the God whom I serve, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God. I serve God with my spirit and my innermost being in the gospel, the good news of his son. Everything to Paul is preaching about the good news of what? Of who? Jesus Christ. That's the center of our faith. If you take that out, all you have is religion and buildings and songs and traditions and some things, moral values that could be very good, knowledge of the scriptures, which could be good, but Jesus said you studied the scriptures, but these are the scriptures that testify about me, and yet you refuse to come to me. Coming to Jesus Christ, that's the center of our faith. The good news of him, it's all about him. Amen. Amen. God is my witness, and what is he witness to? That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. You notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, he says to the church at Thessalonica, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. We give thanks for you. Here he says to the church at Rome, God is my witness that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. It seems that Paul has a prayer list for the churches, both those he's founded, like Thessalonica, and others. He hasn't founded this church at Rome, right? We study that. He hasn't even been there yet. Obviously, he's influenced it, because there are people in that church that have been influenced by his ministry directly or indirectly by others, but he did not find, it was not founded by Paul, the Apostle Paul. And yet they are on his prayer list to pray for that church. He said, I pray for you. He has a list that he prays and he takes time out praying for the churches. And that's so critical. How does he do it? Without ceasing. The ASV says, unceasingly. The NIV says, constantly. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always. Some translations will say at all times in my prayers. And the question is, and those obvious, those two words, without ceasing, always, he's making the point, I remember you, I know you, I pray about you, I pray for you. Do we pray for the churches? Do we set apart time to pray for this church? And not just this church, all true churches, all those who serve God in the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. Do we pray for all the churches in this area, in the globe, all true believers unceasingly and always, that the Lord would be with them, that the Lord would protect them, that their ministries would go forward, that the gospel of his Son would be heard? Everyone can, everyone should pray. There's a lot of different gifts of the Spirit. Everybody can pray. This is something we all can do, to put time aside to pray for the individuals of the church, to pray for the church itself. And then Paul didn't say, well, you know, the church at Rome, I didn't find that church. That's not one of mine. He prayed for them too. All those who truly serve, now I'm not saying pray for churches that are apostate or churches that are dead or churches that are saying the Bible's not the word of God. Maybe for those you pray that the Lord would raise up people inside of them to shame their liberal ministers into knowing that this word is true. But certainly the churches that love the Lord and desire to spread his gospel, we should be praying for all the churches. Some people are called to a ministry of prayer. And there is a spiritual war, we've talked about it many times, in heavenly realms. And the ministries and the churches need a covering. They need the covering of the protection of God that comes in from prayer. Prayer, we talked about faith, how faith can open doors and close doors in the heavenly. We don't understand how all the things work in spiritual realms. The Bible gives us glimpses of it. We see there are principalities and powers and forces of darkness. And we know that when we stand in the Lord and his power supersedes all of that, that Jesus made a mockery of those principalities on the cross. And yet by faith, we open the doors for the power of God to come in and for the enemy to be defeated. And just like by faith, by prayer, because prayer is an aspect of faith, if we believe, we will set the time aside to pray.
On our website at shiarjashub.org, you will find information about our church and a library of hundreds of Bible study radio programs to help you in your walk with Jesus. Plus, we have a significant video library of our Sunday sermons. We live stream the Sunday morning service at 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, and then the video is posted up on the Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle channel, both on YouTube and Rumble.com, as well as on the church website itself, for 24/7 access. The website address again is shiarjashub.org, and you can check Isaiah 7, verse 3 for the spelling.